this morning will give you an encounter before you leave. That as you're leaving, you will call God by a new name. That as you're leaving this place today, you would have encountered God. You will call him a new name. That he will reveal himself to you in a special way today. That you will call him by a new name. The song we sang, How Great Thou Art. It wasn't just a song that someone penned down because the person is musically inclined. That was a testimony based on an experience a person had with God. Oh, that God would give you an encounter with his presence today. Bow your heads, let's press into God. Not church as usual. A divine encounter with the Holy God. A divine encounter with the Holy God. Let heaven hear the cry of your spirit this morning, pressing into the holy place and saying to God, except you touch me, Lord, I will not leave this place. Except you touch me, Lord, I will not leave this place. That God will give you an encounter with his presence today. That he will put a new song in your mouth. You will not just sing how great thou art because somebody sang it. You will sing how great thou art because you have encountered the greatness of God. Makatoli malabasu katalaya pare kata ikeledu supriyalada shuntalaba. Let your spirit reach out to God this morning and touch. There is a depth in God. There is a higher place in God. There is a better place. There is a higher place. Mayesuka eledu sambale de shelebaha. Who will come? Who will come? Who will come? That you will press into God this morning. Not a usual experience. Something of God will be deposited on your life this morning. Can you open your mouth and pray? Can you open your mouth and pray? And if you can't pray in the spirit, this is the church of God. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is at work in this place. Just go ahead and begin to press into God with all your heart. Begin to press into God with all your heart. Maya da satali brana bashatali brahana gadola brana kataya. Rada de bosi kabere de shakataya. Impere de seketole brede bete shukrahalaba de brede kasa. In tali brana nanamose katoli yabaha. Thank you, Lord. As I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till I'm standing face to face. I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace, and I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our hearts we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of my praise. To you my heart is raised. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due. O Lord, I stand in awe of you. Then sings my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Oh, yes, you're great, Lord. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, Lord. How great you are. How great you are. How great you are. How great you are. Brethren, God is in this place. The maker of the heavens and the earth is in this place. He is the maker of the ends of the earth. There is no searching of his understanding. He's never weary. He never gets tired. He doesn't get scared when you scream. He's not deaf. He hears. He knows all things. Our great God is here. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Your word declares, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Oh, if a word will proceed from your mouth today, there will be life. Dead things will come to life. If a word will proceed from you today, we will be filled with your life. And so, Lord, this morning we desire you that you will speak your word to us. Give us a divine encounter with your word this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let me encourage you this morning to keep your spiritual antenna on the alert, because God will be speaking. It's not about the preaching. I'm not talking about preaching. God will be speaking to you. And so you need to be on the alert so that you can catch what he's saying to you. I feel very strongly in my spirit that God is moving us forward. In fact, the words he spoke to me were this: I am moving you into a new season. It is a new season. He is moving us into a new season. I'd like you to come with me. Let's read Luke chapter 11. And Luke chapter 11. Again, I encourage you to be sensitive to God. If you feel God speaking to you about something, forget about the routines and the methodologies of church. If God speaks to your heart, forget everybody else. Bow your heart and begin to press into God and respond to God. Once you begin to sense God moving on you, begin to respond. Don't wait until I make any call. Just begin to respond to God. Hallelujah. Let's read Luke 11 from 1 to 13. Luke 11, 1 to 13. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Verse 5. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'll kind of give you a context. Jesus was praying, and when he was done praying, apparently the disciples had been watching him. They had been observing him. And one of the things that, you know, was very obvious was that Jesus lived a very effective life. He lived a life that was filled with the power of God. He lived a life that was quite impressive in terms of the supernatural and the power that he walked in. And so the disciples walked up to him after they noted that he was praying. And of course, for some reason, they must have observed that the effective and power-filled life that he lived had something to do with his prayer life. And so they came to him and said, please, can you teach us how to pray? You know, John taught his disciples how to pray. And if there was something that was similar between Jesus and John, it was the fact that these two men were anointed. They were anointed of God. God was using them mightily. God was walking through their lives mightily. That was very obvious. And so the disciples must have thought to themselves, we want to be able to experience the kind of thing that our master experiences. We want to walk in the same type of power that our Lord works in. We want to walk in the same victory that our Lord works in, because they must have seen him cast out devils. And the people wonder to themselves, what wisdom is this? What kind of man is this that even the devils respect him? And so they said to themselves, I think we need to learn how to pray the way he prays, because there must be something about his prayer life that releases the energies of heaven into his life, that even the devils are subject to him. And so they came to him that day after they watched him pray. And they said to him, Master, teach us to pray. In other words, it was obvious at this point that the secret to the effective work of Jesus on earth was his prayer life that gave him a divine connection to God. Excuse me, Jesus was God and man, yet he needed to pray. One would have said, because he was born divinely, he was divinely conceived, and he had always been commissioned to do great things. So maybe he did not necessarily need to pray. But to the contrary, the Bible says, after he had prayed, they came to him. Teach us to pray. There must be something about this, your prayer life, that makes heaven open over you. There must be something about this, your prayer life, that makes even the skeptics to believe. There must be something about this, your life. Because I remember the time you called us. Even the fishes responded to you when you said, cast your net on this side. And they caught a great amount of fish. There is something about your life. And we know it has to do with your prayer life. And so please, Lord, teach us to pray. And so in the passage we read, you notice that you can divide what Jesus taught them about prayer into two. Number one was he taught them something about the content of the prayer. And that's what we call our Lord's Prayer. He gave them content. This is what you should say when you pray. This is what you should say. And then in verse 5, it looked like he digressed a little bit. And he began to tell them a story. And that's the second thing he was teaching them about prayer. And that was the nature of prayer. First part was the content of prayer, and I wouldn't be touching on that today. But I would like to press upon the nature of prayer that he emphasized. That was the second part. When you pray, say this and this and this and this. That's the content. But when you pray, there has to be this quality to your prayer. Your prayer has to have this character. And what was the character he was talking about? He said, which of you, having a friend who has a need, comes to you at midnight and says to you, please give me bread, because I have need of bread in my house. Please give me bread. He said, this guy will say, it's already late. I can't do it now because we're already in bed. But Jesus said, even if that guy will not give his friend the bread because of their friendship, yet, for the sake of his importunity, because of his persistence, because of his continuous pressing, because of his tenacity, because of the doggedness of his faith, that he will get this thing. He said, that guy will rise up and give him as many as he needs. The nature of the type of prayer that presses into God and draws on the resources of heaven must be, it's not optional, must be such that it is persistent. I didn't say it. It wasn't me. Jesus is saying, can I ask you to forget everything you have learned about prayer? And listen to the Lord tell you something about prayer. Forget about the methodologies and, you know, all the words and all that. Here is the principle. He says, even if he will not give him because he's his friend, friendship is something powerful. Relationship is something powerful. And so God is saying to us here, it may be that based on your relationship with God, you pray this once and it doesn't look like it's working. Relationship can make prayer work. But Jesus is saying beyond relationship, there is a character to prayer that you must possess. And he says, because of his importunity, another translation calls it shameless persistence. And people will come to you and say, are you still believing God for this? Are you still praying about it? And the doctors will look at you and say, you are just a religious fanatic. But I bring news for you. Jesus said, even if he will not do it because of their relationship, for the sake of his importunity and shameless persistence, he said, that friend will arise and give him as many as he needs. And just to press a little further, Jesus said, I like other translations. King James doesn't do it justice. Where he says in verse 9, King James says, and I say unto you, ask, and you shall receive. But I like the other translations that actually bring out the point. It didn't say just ask. It says what? Keep on asking. Keep on asking. You ask the first time, ask again. You ask the second time, ask again. You ask the third time, ask again. You ask the fourth time, ask again. You know when you stop asking? You know when you stop asking? Jesus said, when that guy rises up and gives you as many as you need, that is when you stop asking. He says, keep on asking. You know why? Because he that continues to ask will receive. He that continues to knock will have the door opened. And he that continues to seek will definitely find. In other words, Jesus is saying to us, here is the thing about importunate praying. At the end of the importunate praying, the door will definitely be opened. The door can never be shut up against any importunate praying. For the Bible says, to him that believes, there shall nothing be impossible to him that believes. You ask, and then the devil tells you, well, you don't feel different. You know, sometimes you ask twice, and then maybe you ask a third time, and then the devil tells you, well, maybe it's the will of God for you not to have it. Excuse me, except the Lord told you that it is not his will for you to have it, you are not permitted to stop asking. I'll say that again. Except you heard the Lord say to you, it is not my will for you to have it, you are not permitted to stop asking. If you must draw on the resources of heaven, if you must experience the victory of Christ, you must continue to press. And so I'm going to ask you this one question. For some of the things that you had begun to pray about and you gave up on praying about, one quick question. Did the Lord ever appear to you and tell you, stop asking because it's not my will to give it to you? Did you ever hear the Spirit of God minister to your heart and say, don't bother about praying for this because it's not my will to heal you here? Because if you did not hear the Lord say that, you need to identify who told you that. And if you believed that voice, you simply experience whatever that voice wants you to experience. Look at the basis of, look at the driver of prayer. This is the backdrop against which we should pray. Jesus said, we church of you being a father would have your son ask you for egg, and you give your son a scorpion. Do you ever do that? Do you ever do that? He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your own children, why do you think that God is a mean God? Why do you think that God is a harsh God? What makes you believe the lie that God does not want your good? What makes you believe the lie that God just likes people to suffer? God just likes people to waste their energy and waste their time and waste their money paying hospital bills and waste their money what makes you believe that? He says, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your heavenly Father? How much more will your heavenly Father? Luke 18, verse 1, the Bible says, and Jesus taught them a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. I'll say that again. Jesus taught them a parable. What was the goal of the parable? That men, you and I, ought always, not sometimes, not when we feel like it, not when we are feeling good. Always. Always means what? Always means in the morning, in the noontime, in the evening, when it's convenient, when it's inconvenient, when you feel like, when you don't feel like. He says, men ought always, always. One of the big lies of the devil is that he makes you feel like that always is too cumbersome. He makes you feel like the always is unrealistic. He makes you feel like the always is not attainable. If it were not attainable, Jesus would not ask us to do it. If it were not attainable, Paul would not reemphasize it and say, pray without ceasing. Pray without giving up. Pray it again and again and again and again and again and again. And you lay your hands on it. And after you lay your hands, you still feel the pain. Lay your hands again. You wake up in the morning, you still feel it. Lay your hands again and keep laying on the hands until the day you wake up and you realize it's no longer there. He said, there was this woman, a widow, and someone treated her unfairly. And she went to the judge and said to the judge, hey, judge, I have a problem here. And these guys have been unfair to me. Avenge me of this adversary. And the judge said, I don't have your time. The legal system may not have your time. The legal system is actually not really, really just, in case you don't know. But we have a just God. The Bible says vengeance is the Lord's. Say, don't bother about taking vengeance. The Lord will take care of it. Vengeance is the Lord's. Go to the Lord. They just said, don't bug me. I don't have your time. But the more he pushed the woman away, the more the woman pressed on. Avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. And one day the judge said, man, I need to answer this woman, lest she weary me with her continual coming. Lest she weary me with her continual coming. Lest she weary me with her persistence. And Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith on earth? And my question was, what is the relationship between the woman's continual coming and faith? I thought Jesus was teaching a parable about persistence. Why is he now talking about faith in the same context? I thought he would have said, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find people continually pressing? But you know what it means? It means that faith, by nature, is persistent. They are inseparable. You can't say, I have faith, and you're not persistent. I'll say that again. You can't say you have faith. Oh, brother, have faith. If you have faith, it would be persistent. Because by nature, faith is persistent. You know what he said? He said, your heavenly Father will avenge them speedily. Your heavenly Father will avenge speedily. Oh, my prayer is that God will impregnate us in this place with something of a divine persistence. Something out of the ordinary. It's not the one, you know, there are people that are strong-willed in terms of physical things. Their personality is just strong-willed. And so if they're strong-willed, they want to do this, they don't care who they hurt, they just go ahead and do it. That's their strong will. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about a persistent faith in God that regardless, I feel this very strongly in my spirit. You started praying, but you stopped praying a while ago. And you felt and you resigned to some of these theologies. You know what theology is in reality? Theology is trying to comprehend God with a limited human mind, which doesn't work. I'll say that again. It doesn't work. We can't comprehend God with our limited minds. God reveals himself to us bit by bit. And so you started praying, and then you heard the theology that said maybe it's not the will of God. Or you heard the theology that says, well, maybe God will just save who he wants to save. And so let me not bother pressing any further. Excuse me, I'll say that again. Except you have heard God say to you, I'm not going to do it. Then that's when you shouldn't bother. But even sometimes, ask Hezekiah. The Bible says the prophet came to Hezekiah and said, Hezekiah, pack up your house. Put your house in order because you're going to die. That you will respond like Hezekiah when you get such news. The Bible says Hezekiah faced the wall and began to engage heaven and began to press into God and said to God, God, I have been faithful. Have mercy on me. I have been faithful. And the Bible says before Isaiah that gave the prophecy, before he got to the porch, everything changed. And God said to him, go back and tell Hezekiah, I'll give him 15 years. That was persistence. That was persistence. He said, no, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go. And so you began to pray, and then things happened. And now you've given up on the prayer. You've resigned it and said, well, I think I've done my best. Excuse me, you know when your best is done? When the result comes. Your best is done when the result comes. I kind of use this as an illustration. You go to college, right? And you say, well, I am a biochemistry major. And then you start to take classes. You know when you graduate? You graduate when you complete the entire course. Everything you're supposed to do. That's when you graduate. And when you graduate, they give you a diploma. If you like, take 200 credits. If you don't complete the credits that are required for your biochemistry major, you don't graduate. The end point of prayer is what? The result. The end point of asking is what? Receiving. The end point of knocking is that the door is opened. This is what some of us do. You come to church or you come to prayer meeting, and then you knock, 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 and you wait nothing. You knock, 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 and then nothing happens. And then because the church service is over, you stand up and you walk out, and that's it. Excuse me, until the door is opened, you're not permitted to stop knocking. And someone is wondering, how can I do that? And that's what I'm saying to you, that in this place today, God will impregnate you with that divine tenacity that will not give up. You know how a wrench holds onto something, latches onto it, and doesn't let it go? That is how your spirit is going to begin to lay hold on the promises of God. And you will lay hold of it and say, I'm not going to let it go. God has promised. God is not a man that he should lie. His words don't fail. Because he has said it, he will make it good. And I'm going to stand firm until he makes his word good. I, no matter the winds that blow, I will hold on to the word of God. And I will press, and I will press, and I will press, and I will press, and I will press until the result comes. The Bible says about Daniel. He decided to fast for 21 days and to seek God. And as he began to fast and began to pray and began to seek God, nothing was happening. He was fasting and praying and praying, and nothing was happening seemingly in the natural. Nothing was happening. Oh, but praise God, he continued. Praise God, he continued. He continued to press. He continued to press. On the 21st day, the Bible says, while he sat casually by the river, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And the angel of the Lord said to him, O Daniel, greatly beloved, in case you did not know, from the first day you began to pray, your words were heard. And God sent me on that first day to come and deliver the words to you. But the Bible says, as he was coming into the territory of Persia, the prince, the demonic prince of Persia, who was against the people of Israel receiving the help of God, withstood the angel for 21 days. And here's my question. What could have happened if after 2-3 days, Daniel stood up and said, well, I've tried. Or some theology came and said, well, it's the will of God for you to stay here so he can teach you some lessons. And then you stay there. What would have happened if Daniel quit before the 21st day? But listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, as he prayed, the angel told him, and when the prince of Persia withstood me, he says, one of the princes, Angel Michael, was sent to come and help. And that was how we broke through. To bring the help of God to you, Daniel. You know what happened? The more Daniel prayed, the Bible says the angels of God are God's ministering spirits, sent to minister to those of us who are the heirs of salvation. And so as we pray, angels get active. As we pray and declare the word of God, the Bible says the angels of God hearken to the voice of his commands. And so when you pray and declare the word of God, you set angels into motion. If one angel is not able to break through, the more you press, God will send more. Because for sure, he that knocks to him, it will be open. You need to keep knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking until the barriers of hell are broken, until the gates of hell are broken, until the high places are broken. You need to press into God. I read the story of Jacob. Far back from when Jacob was conceived, the Bible says there was a prophecy hanging over his life. And the prophecy was that Esau will serve him. He was the younger guy, but the prophecy was that he would be above Esau. God preferred that Jacob to Esau. But in the course of time, the Bible records, Esau actually became greater than David, than Jacob. So much so that on the day that he was to meet with Esau, he was so afraid, he sent everybody across. Say, you go in front first, in case Esau catches you, he will deal with you. Then this next guy is gone. At that point, even though there was a prophecy over his life was contradictory to the prophecy that God gave about his life. God put this thing in my spirit. Many times what many of us think is that because the prophecy has gone ahead over our lives, it will automatically just happen. The prophecy is a declaration of the intentions of God. It is your duty to lay hold of the intentions and press in until it comes to pass. I'll say that again. The fact that God's word has promised does not mean it automatically just appears in your life. No, you have to discover that promise for yourself. And then you have to take hold of it and begin to appropriate it into your life. That is how that promise translates from theory to experience. And so Jacob was living in the theoretical experience of the fact that he was supposed to be greater than Esau. But in reality, Esau was greater than him. How would he go from being under Esau to catching up into the prophecy that had gone ahead in his life? Thank you, sir. How would he do that? The Bible says, that night when everybody left, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And the Bible says, and he wrestled with that angel all through the night. Ah, may God put something of that kind of spirit in you, where you lay hold of God and say to God, Lord, you see this thing? Your word says otherwise, and I'm experiencing something contrary. Lord, today, this thing will have to happen. I'm not letting you go. You cannot have said to me that it is your will that I prosper and be in health as my soul prospers. But as I'm looking at myself, there's nothing prosperity on my life. And I'm keeping quiet? No! God has done his part, which is to say, this is my will for you. Your part is to lay hold of the promise. And like Jacob that night, wrestle with God, wrestle with the angel. He wrestled with him, and the angel, when it was morning, the angel said to him, let me go. The day has broken. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And right at that point, hold on. He wrestled with him through the night. It wasn't a 1 minute wrestle. It wasn't 2 seconds. It wasn't 3 minutes. It was through the night. It was long. And then the word came. He asked him, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. And he said, today, your name changes to Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and hast prevailed. Excuse me, tenacious prayer is what allows you to prevail with God. Tenacious faith, dogged faith, persistent, importunate praying is what gives you prevailing power with God. That was it. His life changed. His life changed when he had that encounter with God. My brother, I pray God. That you will open your spirit this morning and let God deposit a divine stirring in your spirit where you will say to God, I am breaking loose. I am breaking out of this limitation. I am going beyond this. I may have tried before and failed. I may have tried 2 times and failed. I may have tried before and failed, but I'm going to try again. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to pray again. The Bible says Isaac began to dig up wells that his father had dug before he died. And the Philistines will come and close up the well. He would dig the well. They will come and close up the well. He would dig the well. They will strive with him. Just like the devil strives with you for the inheritance of God in your life. The devil is striving with you. You press and he's striving. They strove with Isaac. But praise God. The Bible says when they strive with him, he will move ahead to the next place. And they strive and he will move ahead. Eventually he came to a place. The Bible says, and they dug another well. And the Philistines did not strive with him. And he called the name of the place Rehoboth. For the Lord had made room for us. I pray God to put this in your spirit, a divine pressing in your spirit, that you will press into the place where God makes room for you, where the devil is no longer able to strive with you, because you overcome him. You overcome him with the victory of Christ, and you begin to experience the power of God. I can go on and go on and go on and go on. With testimonies of people that have pressed. The Bible says, Elisha, he came. The Shunammite woman's son was dead. And Elisha sent Gehazi, gave him his rod. Say, go and lay it on that boy and that boy will rise. Gehazi went and put the rod on the boy. The boy did not rise. Elisha came himself, put himself on the boy. The Bible said the boy's body became warm, but the boy did not come back to life. He paced up and down the room. He pressed into God up and down the room, and he went again and laid himself on the boy. And this time around, the boy sneezed 7 times and came back to life. Excuse me. God put this burden in your spirit to press into God until the realities of God become the realities of your own experience. Not theory, not what the preacher said, not what the other guy told me, not what I read in the book, not what I saw in the film, but what I have seen in my life. Elijah said, after it had not rained in the land for 3 years, Elijah said to Ahab, says, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And it was a silly thing to have said, because there were no clouds. There were no clouds. Yet Elijah heard the sound of an abundance of rain. And one would have wondered, I mean, because he had heard the sound, oh, just go and relax, the rain will come, because I heard the sound. But that was not what the Bible says. The Bible says, after he made that declaration, he went up to the mountain. He fell on his face and he began to pray. And he began to pray. He told the servant, go and check and see if the cloud is coming. The servant will come back and say, there is nothing. Forget about all. He bowed his head and prayed some more. 7 times he prayed. And on the 7th time, the servant came back and said, I see a small cloud like the hand of a man. And then, before you knew it, there was a heavy rain on the land. Excuse me, God may have given you a word of prophecy, and he has said to you, I will do it. Your role in that whole thing is to fall on your knees like Elijah did and press. You press and you look up, nothing, bow your head and press again. You look up, no change, bow your head and press again. You pray, 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 your daughter is not returning, bow your head and pray again. Tell the devil, you cannot have this child. You cannot have your way in my family. Hey! I grew up in a family that's messed up. I grew up in a family that's messed up. I grew up in a family that had an occultic background. But my brethren, the day I encountered God, I told the devil in his face, all these demonic things you have done so far, I have drawn the line in the sand by the blood of the cross. You have gone so far and no more. The thing that happened before me will be the last time it would ever happen. Ah, I bow my heart to God, and the Lord knows with all my heart, I will not let the devil cross this line. The Bible says on the cross, Jesus discomfited the devil. He wiped away the handwritings of ordinances that were against us and contrary to us. He took them out of the way and nailed them to the cross. He made a public display of principalities and powers, triumphing over them in the cross. I enforce the victory of the cross. I enforce the victory of the cross. I enforce the victory of the cross. Ah, yeah, da 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 da. Oh, sakata da da da. Your season is changing. Your season is changing. Your season is changing. You know why? Because God is putting into you something that will begin to press into him. Something that will begin to press into him. Even though it's not yet your time for promotion, but the promotion is going to come regardless, because God is changing your times and your seasons. God is changing your times and your seasons. I speak what he tells me. So God is changing someone's IQ. Someone's IQ. You've struggled in class and academically. In this place today, if God be God, if because he is God and not a man, his word stands sure, you are going to press into him and there is going to be a change. Mark it today. Because he is God and his words don't fail, something of the divine is going to drop on your life today. Ah, you came into the right place. Because he showed up here way before you came. And he set you up for a divine encounter. And today we are going to say to the devil, thus far and no more. Oh, bow your heads, let's pray together. Maya da 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 ya ha. Le basaka to le brahala katai. Maya da 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 borotosika ha. El le de bahase kale bari de sete. Begin to